a morning. Today's Daf and Chulin is Mem Hey. We're in Mem Dalam and Beis. We are about three quarters of the way down. We're starting today with the words Amar Rav Chista, Ezu Tamar Chacham. Rav Chista wants to know what is the definition of a Tamar Chacham. The Gemara over here is giving a some sort of benchmark, some sort of threshold in terms of what because when a person becomes a Tamar Chacham. Tosus understands over here that the Gemara is asking this from, of course, a halachic standpoint, meaning a person has a halachic status of being a Tamar Chacham. If you take a look at the very short bottom, Tosus on the Amud, Ezu Tamar Chacham, Tosus writes to Mahadru Lu Avedaso B'Tviya Sain. So one of the benefits of being a Tamar Chacham is that if you lost an item, somebody returns it to you, and you don't have a simon, you don't have a telltale sign that the item belongs to you. However, it's something called Tviya Sain, meaning it's mine because I know it's mine. Meaning I am observant enough, I don't mean this here now in the abstract, I mean in the most literal sense, I'm observant enough that I basically know the item belongs to me. So a Tamar Chacham can reclaim the item just simply by saying that it belongs to him, meaning he knows that it's his. So this is the halacha Tviya Sain by Hashavas Aveda. So anyway, so basically now we want to know at what point in time does a person become so trustworthy that he has the status of a Tamar Chacham. Really, it's a question here of his ne'emanus, meaning the fact that he is a really, really honest person and genuine person, and we don't doubt him whatsoever. So to which the Gemara says, Ezu Tamar Chacham Zero Trefal Atzmo. Someone who's able to paskan on a trefa, and when I say paskan on a trefa, that means to say, and he doesn't always say it's okay. Meaning there's going to come a point in time where he's going to look at a trefa that he himself is ready to eat, but he looks at it and he says, you know what, it's not okay. So in other words, so at that point in time now, he's a Tamar Chacham. V'am Rav Chista Ezu Sonei Matanas Yechia. Paskan Mishlei, person, Sonei Matanas, somebody who rejects gifts. So such an individual is going to live a long life. So the idea is that in a general philosophical position that we should all take, is that you should be a giver, not a taker. And so being a giver, not a taker, so you're Sonei Matanas, you don't like gifts, you hate gifts. So Zaro Trefal Atzmo. So once again, same story. In other words, so you have an animal, it's your animal, and there's a shayla on the animal, and you declare it to be a trefa. Good. So in other words, if you're a taker, you would always say it's okay. But if you're more of a giver, so that means to say that you're able to look at it with objectivity, and if necessary, decide that the animal, in fact, is a trefa.
What has to do with the other one? Every time Chucham is, because whether he's trustworthy or not, if you see that, how he
right.
Trefa.
Right. You're right. In other words, this issue is not as much of a halachic issue as it was previously. Agreed. Darsh Mar Zutra Mishmed Rav Chista Kol Mishakor Vishon V'Roa Trefal Atzmo. Anyone who reads Chumash, learns Mishnayos, Roa Trefal Atzmo, and again, Roa Trefal Atzmo meaning, and Paskening L'Chumra. V'Shimish Tamid Chachamim, and serves the Tamid Chacham, Alav HaKasav Omer, Yegia Kapecha Kitoch L'Ashrech V'Tov Lach. So all the accolades given in that pasuk in Tehillim can be said about such an individual. Rav Zvid Amar Zochem Nochu Shnei Olamas, Olam Hazeh V'Olam Haba. Ashrecha B'Olam Hazeh V'Tov L'Chal L'Olam Haba. So in other words, not only is he going to be benefiting in the world to come, but also this world as well. Such an individual who really has tremendous fidelity towards the Torah and towards honesty, so such an individual is going to enjoy both this world and the next one as well. Rebbe Lazar Ki Havei Meshajal Hu Mebei Nisiya Midi Lo Shakel. Now, as far as Rav Elazar is concerned and his personal practice, so anything that was sent to him from the house of the Nasi, so simply he rejected it. No, thank you. And v'chav maznam nelelo azom. And whenever extended a gift to go over to the Beit Nasi to eat by the Beit Nasi, so he simply refused. Amarlo kabay mar de'eche dechtiv esar matanas yichya. And his rhetorical question that he asked every time he received the invitation, so with the RSVP, so he sent in the envelope, no thank you. And he writes in the RSVP, I'm exaggerating just a little bit, but he writes in the RSVP, Sonei Matanas Yechia, I can't come. In other words, I'm not a taker, and I want to live. So thank you, but no thank you. Now with Rabbi Zera, it's going to be a little bit different, and you'll notice the difference right away. So Rabbi Zera Kimishadra Lei Lo Shakel. So whenever a gift was given to him, so he refused the gift. Again, Sonei Matanas Yechia, but Kehava Mezamner Lei Azal. But as far as the invitations were concerned, so an invitation was given to him to eat by somebody, so he would go and he'd eat by that person. Oh, you figured it out. Right, so it's a little bit different. So it yakra hu demit yakra bi, and Rabbi Zera explains that. Look, and I know this doesn't sound like a nivus, but the definition of a nivus is not where you don't know how great you are, but you know how great you are. But it's just a question of Right. In other words, just not making a big deal about it. Okay. So, Idyakur, Rabbi Zera knew he was a great man. And he knew that if he accepted an invitation to somebody else's house, that's not honoring him. That just simply by him showing up and presenting himself, that's an honor to the host. Rashi on the top of the Amud. Idyakur min Yakur bi nechmadim heim b'masha ani soed etzlam v'anasam hi v'ein zumatana. So I'm not receiving a gift by showing up. But in other words, I know that they're going to feel honored if I come over to them. I'm Rabbi Yehuda.
They are receiving a gift.
Yeah, they're right. Correct.
So how can they?
So that's why.
Receiving a gift.
Oh, so they're receiving a gift. Yeah, but they invite. They invited him. Okay. All right. Anyway, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm a Rav. Nikva Kenafa Mitzarfin Laruba. Okay. And so now we return back to the world of Treifus and anatomy. And for today's daf, I don't know the perek well. Okay, hopefully after another review of the perek, we'll get to know it even better. But I have to say that probably today's daf anatomically is the most intensive daf that we have in Eilut Treifus. Now I could be wrong about that, but you'll see a lot of anatomy in the course of today's daf. We're heading right now back to the trachea, and now we're talking about what renders an animal, what defect in the trachea would render the animal a trefa. Now, good. Now, what do we learn back in the Mishnah when it comes to the kana, the trachea? It goes by two names in the Gemara. It's called the gargaris. Now, what do we know regarding the trachea? So the Mishnah told us that you need to be severed, and what needs to be severed? So we learned this in yesterday's daf. So rov chalala. So in other words, so that if the majority of its interior circumference is now opened up, so at that point in time now, the animal is going to be a trefa. And again, when I say trefa, it happens to be by the trachea, we could also mean nevela as well. That goes back to what we learned back in the second paragraph. But anyway, so now over here, so we know that if I slit the trachea where the majority of it is open up, so then it is in fact going to be a trefa. That we know. The Gemara, however, develops the discussion, advances the discussion. I'm Rav Yehuda, Rav Nikva Kanapa, Mitzarfim Leruba. And let's say you have little holes in it, but the holes are mitzaref. So in other words, if I add up incrementally every one of the holes that are found in the trachea, so they're like little pinholes that are in the trachea, but incrementally they add up to a rove, so they are in fact going to be mitzaref. They can contribute and combine in order to get to the point of rove. So Mesa Rav Yehuda, now the Gemara asks a question based on the Mishnah in Olos. And again, because I can't overstress this enough, it's clear from the Gemara that whatever are anatomical oddities as it relates to humans are then going to be translatable and transferable over to animals and vice versa as well. So over here now we're looking at a Mishnah in Olos and we're describing now the tumas mace of a golgolus, of a skull. We know that in terms of what gives off tumas ohel, so kezias of the actual flesh, or you need a certain amount of the skeletal structure. How much of the skeletal structure? If it's just bones, so rov minyan. But if you have the major bones, meaning either the skull or the vertebrae, so either an entire skull or all the vertebrae. We already had a discussion and debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, how many vertebrae have to be missing in order for the animal, in order for the human remains to give off tumas ohel, one or two of the vertebrae. But now we're describing the skull, and I need an entire skull in order to give off tumas ohel. And the Mishnah over here describes of a gogol sheish ba nekev echad aruch afilu yesh ba nekavim harbe mitzar from lamlo makdach. Now, in terms of a skull, how much of a skull needs to be punctured so that the skull no longer is going to give off tumas ohel? And the answer is that they had a surgeon's drill, even back in the day, and it had a standard diameter. I don't know what it is, it doesn't matter. But in other words, if the hole in the skull is commensurate to the diameter and therefore circumference of the standard surgeon's drill, so then the skull is not going to give off tumas ohel. What if I have little pinholes in the skull? Are they going to combine and contribute? So the Mishnah says, yes, they are. Afilu yesh bo nekavim harbim, it starts from melo makdach. So many, many holes in the skull, even though each hole in of itself is smaller than the surgeon drill, but they can combine and contribute and add up to the surgeon's role. So Aman Kevin Dishira Malamak Dachla Malamak Dachma Stephen Mitstarfin Hachinami Kevin Dishira Ki Isar Lichi Isar Mitstarfin. And what is the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question basically goes like this. Now, in order to understand the Gemara's question, we need just one more piece of information, which we have not yet seen in this parak. When we talk about the trachea and the animal now going to become a trepha because there's a hole in the trachea. So how have we been defining a hole? We're basically talking about a cut in the trachea that goes more than halfway through. There's another way for the trachea to become defected and thereby the animal becoming a trepha, and that's going to be a hole in the wall of the trachea. How big a hole? Ki isar. There was a coin back in the day that was very popular. However big it is, I can't translate that into modern measurement, but whatever the size is, so if there's a hole in the trachea like that of an isar, so then the animal is going to become a trepha. Fine. With that stated, the Gemara wants to know, when we're talking about holes adding up, why are we only having the discussion of holes adding up to get to Rov? Why can't we also have a discussion of holes adding up in order to get to the point of an Isar, of this coin? That's the Gemara's question. But the Gemara gives a very simple answer. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, Kevin Dishir, Ki Isar, Lechisar, Mitstarfin, Ishtamitate, Hada Amar Rebbe Chabo, Amar Rav Chama, Barguria, Amar Rav. So when Rav Yirmiyah asked the question, it was Rav Yirmiyah who presented the question from the Mishnah Novelos. So what Rav Yirmiyah did is he forgot the statement of Rav. And that is, Nekav v'sheish b'em chisar mitztarfen l'chisar v'sheim bo chisar mitztarfen l'ruba. So there are holes and there are holes. And when I say that, what do I mean by that? What does Rav mean by that? Look, if we have a hole that's just simply a perforation, meaning you took a needle and you put it through, so that creates a hole. But that's not chaser. Meaning, even though that's a hole, and that would render a trepha under certain circumstances, like by the esophagus, like by the lungs. So that's a hole, she'ein bo chisaron. You're not actually taking matter away from the trachea. You're just simply making a hole that is going to create communication between the inside of the trachea and the outside of the trachea. Fine. Holes like that can be mitzarif, but not to get to the point of isar. Because in order to get to the point of Isar, I need holes that are not just simply perforations, but actually remove the trachea matter, meaning actually take away from the cartilage of the trachea. Those are the kinds of holes that get me where even though each hole in of itself is not the size of an Isar, but if I have multiple holes with Chisaron, so then that'll get me to the point of an Isar. Masha'enkin, if all I have is just simply perforations, so perforations are not going to get me to the point of Isar, are never going to get me to that point. But if I have enough of the perforations, where now the majority of it is now perforated, meaning from a severed standpoint, so then, in fact, the animal is going to be a trepha. Discussion which the Gemara does not have, and you could read Rashi critically, and Rashi may, in fact, indicate this, is that when we're talking about perforations adding up, do we mean just the actual holes of each of the perforations, or do we mean also the cartilage in between as well? Not clear from the Gemara. Again, meaning if I have little tiny holes, and so we're saying that the mitzarif to get to Rove, are we not just counting up those little holes?
You're counting the cartilage as if it's not there?
Yes, that's the question. The Gemara does not give an opinion on the matter. The Gemara doesn't say one way or another. Again, you could read Rashi one of a couple of ways.
Which is the bigger shiur, the Isser or the Rove?
Well, they're two different shiurim. One is just talking about, in other words, by Rove, there's no trachea that's missing. It's just simply sliced open.
Which one is bigger?
Again, it's not the same. In other words, when you're cutting the cartilage, you're just simply opening up the cartilage. You're not actually taking anything away. Isser, you're taking something away from the actual trachea. I know I keep coming back to the point, but they're different. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's go on. We could discuss it after. We have a lot to do today. I'm sorry. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Yeshua Ben Levi Nidlahi Menor Ritzua Mitzarfen Lechaiser. If let's say now you have a strip taken away Mitzarfen Lechaiser, meaning that in terms of the coin is concerned, the coin is just simply giving us an area. How we get to that area is inconsequential. So even though we have, let's say, a long strip of the trachea that's missing, it's a very thin strip, but it doesn't matter. If the total area of that strip missing is equivalent to that of the Isar, of the circular Yisar, meaning you got to the same square area, so then that's going to be a treifa. Now, what if there is a nekev and it looks like a sieve? So in other words, again, a lot of perforations, a lot of holes. So Amalei Haram or Nekavim Sheish Baim Ki Chisaron Mitzdarfen Lechisa V'Shem Baim Chisaron Mitzdarfen Leruba. And the Gemara just simply refreshes our memory, even though we learned this all of 5 lines ago. But okay, Chazar is very important. And Chazara in the Daf, so the Gemara says, look, there's a hole and there's a hole. A hole that is just simply a perforation, so that will only get me to the point of Rov. Holes that have actual trachea matter removed, so that's going to get me to the point of Isar. Good. Ba'ofamai. Now the Gemara says, now by birds, it has to be a different shear. It has to be a different shear. Now, anatomically, why? Because birds are just much smaller. There's no way by a bird, in other words, in terms of the cut and the severance of the trachea, so we could talk about a roof, that's fine. But in terms of an Isar, in other words, we're talking about a coin, which again, I don't know how much that measures, but it's sizable. And the trachea of the bird is so tiny, there is no way that we could be talking about a dimension, a square area of an Isar that'll render the bird a treifa. So it's got to be a smaller shear, and the Gemara says, and what would that shear look like? So I'm Rav Yisrael Bar Nachman, Lididim Mefarsh Leminei De Rebbe Elazar, Mekapla Menichel Alpi Akana, Im Chofez Rav Akana Treifa, V'im Lav Ksheira. So the Gemara basically gives us the following way of measuring. So in other words, instead of giving an actual measurement, a linear measurement or a square area measurement, the Gemara says like this. If I have a certain amount of the trachea of the bird perforated, and I want to know now, is it a treifa or is it not a treifa? Take off that area and see if it fills in the majority of the circumference of the bird, of the bird's own trachea. If it does, the animal is a treifa. Smaller, the animal is not a treifa. Amara Papa Visiman Chanafya, the Gemara says, and just a way of remembering that is just think of the sieve. Meaning, placing it, what do I do with the sieve? I place it over something in order so that what it does is, it does its thing. Meaning, holds certain things in place, larger things in place, let the smaller ones through. So basically what I do is I take off the pin cushion part of the trachea, and I just simply lay it over the top of the trachea like a sieve. Nifchas HaKadosh, what if, let's say, it opens up like a door? So basically now, the trachea is cut, not the majority through, and it's a pretty good hole, however, it's still connected. So in other words, it's basically like a flap on the trachea. Am Rav Nachman Kadeshi Kanes Iser Lerechbo. So if the coin can be put through along its wide side, so then the animal is a treifa. Nistika, now what if there is a cut along the length of the trachea? So in other words, and not in a horizontal, but rather in a vertical. So going the length of the trachea. So one opinion of the Gemara presented by Rav is that as long as I have a ring, an entire ring of cartilage on the bottom of the windpipe, an entire ring of cartilage on the top of the windpipe. So a cut that is going lengthwise along the trachea is not a problem. Now when we say chulia, we're talking about an intact ring. How many? So Rashi offers a couple pshatim over here. Really interesting. Rashi says that one pshat that he heard is that you have to have 3 rings of cartilage on the top and on the bottom. Why? So Rashi says, because you got to go back to the Gemara Menachos. Remember we had the term chulia back in Menachos in reference to tzitzis. In terms of wrapping the tzitzis, so the Gemara over there talked about a chulia. What is a chulia in terms of wrapping of the tzitzis? So that's 3 wraps. So Rashi says, so some say that our Gemara over here, that is extraordinarily lenient as far as a lengthwise cut of the trachea, but still requires 3 intact rings on the top and on the bottom. But Rashi also offers another pshat as well. Amru kamei d'Rabbi Yochanan amar machulia machulia. So when Rav's psak was given over to Rav Yochanan, so Rav Yochanan says, that's excessive. I don't need that much. Rav Yochanan is even more lenient. A vertical cut along the length of the trachea, as long as I have any part of the trachea intact on the top and on the bottom, it's going to be a kosher animal. It's not going to be a treifa. Amru kame de Rabbi Yochanan, mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. I'm sorry. Let me read that better. Amru kame de Rabbi Yochanan, mishmei de Rabbi Yonasan. So now where Rabbi Yochanan was quoted this in the name of Rabbi Yonasan. Hachi amr lehu yadai chavar baval lefrushi kai taima. And he was surprised, Rabbi Yochanan, that one of those rabbis from Bavel knew how to correctly explain the Gemara. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan obviously showed a certain amount of favoritism to the Chachmei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, not to the Chachmei Bavel. I mean, that was his home team. And so when he heard something smart coming out from Bavel, so he showed a little bit of surprise.
What did they tell Rabbi Yochanan?
No, Rabbi Yochanan's memra.
They told him
like Rabbi Yochanan, and he was surprised. Right, pleasantly surprised. Agreed. Tana Rabbi Chia bar Yosef kamei de Rabbi Yochanan kol atzaver kula kasha l'shchita mitabas gadola ad kanfei rea tachtona. Okay, and now we're going to be discussing the parameters of the makom hashchita. Now, I told you back in the day when we were all the way back in the first parak, so we described hagrama, meaning hagrama is one of the five psuli shchita where you're going outside of the makom hashchita. So there is a greenlit area, in other words, of the neck in which you're allowed to shecht, and then there are areas which, you know, in my analogy, basically red areas that you're not allowed to shecht. So there is a makom shechita and the eino makom shechita. Interestingly, earlier, now there are two pipes that you have to cut, so there really are four points of extremities that we need to describe. The upper and lower section of the trachea and the upper and lower section of the esophagus. Oddly enough, in the first parak, we only described one of those four points. That's it. And so over here now, as we are in the third parak, so now the Gemara comes back to describe on the trachea, so the upper and lower. Upper cranial, lower caudal. Okay? So mitabas gedola ad kanfei rea tachtona. So over here we say, as far as the upper is concerned, the tabas gedola, as we already described earlier in the Masechta, when it comes to the tabas gedola, we're talking about the one cartilage that goes all the way around, that is the top cartilage of the trachea. So the truth of the matter is, as Rashi over here in our daf already points out, earlier in the Masechta, if you remember, we were even more lenient, meaning we said the makom hashechita can even be further higher up on the throat. Okay, anyway, and in terms of now the bottom, what is the bottom area that's going to be acceptable? So it's going to be at kanfei rea, until one of the wings of the lungs. What happens to the trachea is that the trachea now goes into the lungs. Now, obviously, the trachea is what's providing the air to the lungs. But in other words, but the connection between the trachea and the lungs does not occur at the very top, but rather goes into the lungs and only connects at a later point in time. So in terms of which part of the trachea now is going to be an acceptable area of shechita, it's not where the actual connection between the trachea and the lungs are going to occur, but it's actually where the tip of the lungs, what the Gemara describes as the kanfei harea, right, literally the wings of the lungs, are actually making contact with the trachea. Now, amarava tachtona shiel yona. Now, bottom, which is top, meaning Rava basically says you're taking the animal and you're turning it upside down so that when we're looking at the animal, even though we say tachtona, we really mean el yona, meaning just simply the top of the lungs, the lungs that are most cranial, meaning the ones that are closest to the head, even though they're not connected to the trachea, but that marks the point of the last part of the trachea that I can shecht. Shani Omer, kol sheposhetet tzavara v'roa uvavachal teanes. Now, here, even though we gave a pretty clear marker in terms of where we can cut the trachea for shechita, but it's still not perfectly clear. And the reason why is because the trachea is a fluid organ, meaning so it's like an accordion, right? Stretches in, stretches out. And so what ends up happening is that as the animal now is stretching out its neck, so what's going to end up happening is that the trachea, which is normally tucked away in the lungs, is going to extend out even further. So basically, how much trachea are we talking about, and how much extension are we talking about? So what the Gemara gives a description of is, kol, and I just read in the Gemara, but I'm going to read it again. So, sorry. Kol atzaver kulo, I'm sorry. Amar Rava tachtona shiel yona shani omer, kol sheposhetet tzavera v'rovo uvavad shelo teanes. The Gemara describes it as normal pasturing. If you could just take a picture of the animal as it's out there in the pasture. So its neck now is stretched down in order to get the grass down on the ground. But no more than that. So in other words, if we can now mark off, I know it's hard because the animal is alive and the trachea is tucked away in the animal, but I guess basically from experience you will know that if we can now mark off that spot, that's the last part of the trachea that you can shecht. And if, however, you stretch the neck out any further, meaning if there is manipulation of the neck, so that you cannot shecht in that area. So by Rav Chanina, v'itim Rav Chanan, ya'ansa atzma mahu, what if it was not manipulated by human manipulation? But let's say the animal itself stretched out its own neck beyond what it normally does. Take the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. That area of the trachea, unclear. Yasa Rav Yochan, Rav Shimon, Lakish, Nafik Mil, Samei Benayu, Anus B'Simanim, V'Shachat P'sula. If, let's say, you pulled out the Simanim too far, meaning you stretched the neck out too far, so that's not going to be a makam shchita, and the shchita would be a shchita psula. Nikev akana lamatam in a chaza, nidon kareya. Now, what if the trachea now gets a perforation below the lungs? So as we already described, the trachea now is going to go into the area of the lungs. Once the trachea now has basically burrowed into the lungs, so even though anatomically it's a trachea, but halachically it's now the lungs. And that's a big difference. Because as it relates to the trachea, what renders it a trefa? Rubo. You need to sever the majority of it in order for it to be a trefa. What do we know regarding the lungs? Nekev, perforation. So the trachea now that has basically burrowed its way into the lungs is now considered halachically like lungs. And therefore, perforation would render it a trefa. Tanu Rabbanan Ezu Chaza. Now, the Gemara is going to take a nice short little break over here, even though we're not taking a break from anatomy. It's all anatomy today, but now what we're going to be discussing is the manos kahuna. Every time you shecht an animal, so you have to give matanos over to the kohen. Certain parts of the animal need to go to the kohen. Three parts of every animal need to go to a kohen. So, the zora lechai v'keva. So the so one of the legs, the chazeh, the chest, and the keva, and the fourth stomach. So all those go over to the kohen. So when we talk, zroa lechaya, the keva. Okay, good. So the, that's the matnas kahuna. Of the shlamim, now I'm back. Of the shlamim, chazeh v'shoko go over to the kohen. So good. So chazeh v'shoko go over to the kohen of a shlamim. So what's the chazeh? So we know the chazeh is the chest. But good, that's a general description. But now as we're in the third parak of Elitrefus, of Chulin, we want more than a general description. We want an anatomical description. So Tanu Rabbanan Ezu Chaza Zeharoas HaKarka Lamata Ad Atzavar Ulamala Ad HaKeres. So basically we're going to go under the under chest of the animal, and if I'm not mistaken, it's basically the brisket. So in other words, the under chest of the animal, which is the part where there is no rib cage. And so in that area over there, so that part goes over to the kohen, that's part of the chazeh, but that's not it. And on top of that, chotech shtei tzalaos mishtei defanos elech ve'elech v'zehu chazeh nitin lekohanim. Also, you're going now to the back of the animal, and you're basically cutting off the first set of ribs. I'm going to be saying over the Gemara like Rashi. The first set of ribs, I know the Gemara says two, but the way Rashi understands it, it's the first rib, the 13 ribs in total, from head down to the tail. So you're taking off the first ribs of the vertebrae, cutting that off, and on the underbelly, you're taking off basically the entire brisket area. That is the chazeh that goes over to the kohen of every karban shlamim. And by the way, when it comes to the shlamim, it's chazeh v'shok. Also, he gets one of the legs as well. But being that we are now in the describing the upper cavity of the animal, so the Gemara here just took a moment talking about the chazeh. Nika krim shel moach, and here now we are headed to the brain. Okay, and basically what we're doing now anatomically is we're just following the Mishnah as the Mishnah took us over, took us through the 18 trefas. And so we have covered now the esophagus, we covered the trachea, and now we're moving over to the brain. So nika krim shel moach, so we're talking now about the membrane of the brain. A membrane of the brain is encased in two membranes. One is really thin, really hard to see, even with a picture. You can take a look at the picture inside. That really thin layer of the membrane, if I can give you a great way to think about it, It's like saran wrap. So the brain is, that first encasing of the brain is in a very thin layer. And then, thank you. And then the outer membrane, the one that's easily visible, so anatomically it's called the dura mater. So that is, thank you. So the, I know. So that is the thicker member of the brain. That is what the Gemara is calling the krum ila'a, the upper membrane. We know that a perforation that goes through these membranes are going to render an animal a trefa. That's what we learned together. But now that we know that there are two membranes, so what do we need? A perforation through both? Through one? Which one? Gemara's discussion. Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu Karma Ila Fagav Dolin Kav Tasa. So in one version, Rav and Shmuel, the upper membrane, not the lower membrane. The Amrila Adina Kav Tasa. Another version is that Ad Din Kav Tasa, the way Rashi understands it, both have to be perforated. Amr Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman V'Simancha Chaisa Demasnach Bei Mocha. And basically, you know, I gave the example earlier, like saran wrap. Basically, whatever is encasing the brain needs to be perforated in order for the animal to be rendered a trefa. And if you want, in other words, opening up of the brain is not easy. So if you want to see an example of this double casing, so the Gemara says, just simply look at the testicle. You can open up a testicle, and over here, he has a wonderful picture over here of basically an open testicle, and it too has that double membrane casing. So if you just want to see an example of that, says the Gemara, so that's where you can look to see the double membrane. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Yeshua Malevi, Mishim bar Kapar, Moch Komash b'Gedera, Nidon Kemoach. Hizchol Limshoch, Nidon Kechot HaShedra. Okay. Now, even though we know that there's a brain, and there's a spinal cord, and we know that the brain basically heads off into the spinal cord, and even anatomically, we refer to them as two different names. We halachically also have to distinguish the two as well. And the reason why is very simple. Because what renders a trefa as it relates to the brain? A nekev, a simple perforation. What renders a trefa when it comes to the spinal cord? The rove, the majority of it has to be sliced through, much like the trachea. So obviously now, as the brain heads into the spinal cord, there has to be a point of demarcation. What is the point of demarcation between the brain and the spinal cord halachically? So the Gemara discusses exactly this part. Good. So right now we know there is a part of demarcation. We haven't identified what that point is. The Gemara will do so right now. So Rav Yitzchak quotes Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Kimin Shnei Pulin. So the Gemara describes now that basically you're going to have two white beans. Again, if you take a look at a picture, he does such a wonderful job. This person, Rabbi Lack, did really an unbelievable job giving a detailed description of the animal. So basically, if you're looking now at the back of the, if you're looking at the back of the head, he cut open the back of the skull. And if you look in the back of the skull, so what you're going to see are two bones that are protruding. So he describes them anatomically as the occipital condyle. I know it's here. So, and they are very, very clear bone structures that are protruding at the back. That is where now the spinal column begins. And that is halachically now where the brain now becomes the chut hashedra. And again, the difference is, in terms of trefas, with the brain, it is a nekev. With the chut hashedra, it's rov. Now the Gemara says, good. So now that we demarcated the two spots, what about any brain matter that's in that area itself? Okay? Every time we move from one section to another section, there's always the actual border itself. So minapulin ulifnim kalifnim, minapulin kalachutz kalachutz. So any area that is outside of the pulin, so that's very easy to distinguish. But what about any brain matter that is actually corresponding to that area itself? Upulin atzman in the yodea. So the Gemara says, first, honestly, we don't know. However, mistabra kilifnim. But the Gemara says, but if we are going to be, it seems more like it is part of the brain matter. Now, as far as the bird is concerned, so the bird anatomically does not have this clear structure of the occipital condyles that the animal has. So basically, Rabbi Yirmiyahu says is that if you open up a bird, you're going to find something very similar. It's kimin shnei pulim munach mapia hakedera. So there is something like it. Now, what exactly is the Gemara describing over here? So I encourage you, please read. By the way, the Rabbi Lack's book is divided into sections. The first one is pictures, and the second ones are basically discussions. So I encourage you to read. He does a wonderful job by a bird going over a couple of suggestions of exactly what are the bean-like protrusions on the back of the on the back of the skull of a bird that the Gemara can be making reference to over here. You can take a look inside and read his description. Nikav Halev Lebeis Chalalo. And now we are at the heart. Okay, surrounded by a couple cardiologists. So I'm a little intimidated, but okay. And notwithstanding, we let's go forward. So now we're talking about a perforation. So into the heart itself, and you have to hit into the cavity of the heart. By Rabbi Zera Lebeis Chalal Katan Lebeis Chalal Gadol. So we're talking about the big cavity or the small cavity. Okay, so over here he does a wonderful job describing. And the modern anatomy has the heart divided into four chambers. However, you open up a heart and you're going to find two very clear visible chambers, right? The left ventricle and the right ventricle, and the left one is much larger. So over here when the Gemara describes a chalal gadol and chalal katan, most probably what the Gemara is describing over here are just basically the ventricles, right? Even though we give a more quote unquote modern description of the heart, but as he points out in the book, we're all describing the same thing. It's just a question of semantics of what we're calling what. So over here, it's probably a description over here the ventricles. In any event, the Gemara's question is as follows: when we say that a perforation of the heart has to go all the way into the cavity of the heart, so does it matter whether it goes into the large or the small chamber? So Amalei Abai, Mati Bailach, Milo Tanan. So the Gemara says, I think I know the answer, and that is, let's go back to our Mishnah and let's talk about the lungs. Rabbi Shimon Amachi Tanak of Labesa Simponos. Right? Remember that Rabbi Shimon says that in order for a lung to be perforated to the point of being a trepha, so I needed to go not into any bronchial tubes, but the main bronchial tubes. So Vamar Abba Bartachlifa Amar Abirmiya Baraba Amar Avachi Tanak of the Simpon Gadol. So it's got to go into the main bronchial tubes. So can we say the same thing by the heart? In order for the animal to be a trepha, the puncture has to go into the main chamber, meaning the large chamber. So Hachi Ashto, the Gemara says, not a fair comparison. The idea in of itself that we're comparing one organ to another, that in of itself is challenging. But the Gemara says, but even from a textual standpoint, it's not a fair comparison. Hasam lebeis simponus ketani lehecha deshafchei simponus kulo. The Gemara says, as far as the lungs are concerned, it says beis simponos. We're talking about a tube where all other tubes are leading to. So that's why it's the main bronchial tubes. Ha'achal lebeis chalalu ketani. But over here, the language of the Mishnah, the text of the Mishnah, is just simply it has to go into a chamber. Doesn't say which chamber, malichala gadol, malichala katan. And it doesn't matter if it goes into the large chamber or the small chamber. Kaneh halev. Okay, so now that we described the perforation going into the heart, so now we're going to be talking about some of the major arteries that are leaving the heart. So obviously what the Gemara now is going to be describing are arteries. And again, it's for us to try to give a good description of which arteries the Gemara is making reference to over here. So again, I highly encourage you to read his write-up over here in terms of which arteries we're talking about. He does a magnificent job. Kanei Alev, Rav Amar B'Mashu, Shmuel Amar B'Rubo. So if we're talking about the Kanei Alev, so how much of it needs to be perforated? So I'll give it up right now. We're probably talking about the aorta. Most probably talking about the aorta. You'll see in just a moment why. So, but how much of the aorta needs to be severed, punctured, in order for the animal to be a trepha? So here we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So Rav says it's a mashu. So again, a perforation is all you need, a nekev. Shmuel says rov. Okay. The Gemara doesn't give us the svaras behind it. So, but still, it's machlokes amarayim. Yeah. So, hi, niu kanei alev. Now, what is the kanei alev? Amarav abar yisak, amarav, chelev sha'al gabi defanos. So we're talking about something that is that is fatty and close to the walls of the inner cavity. The walls of the inner cavity. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Defanos agadacha, meaning we're talking about something which is proximate to the heart. So it's not next to the wall. So the Gemara says, Ella shalgabe dofne rea. Correct. Correction. The Gemara says, we meant the dofen harea, meaning it's next to the walls of the lungs, i.e., some major tube that has a lot of fat surrounding it that's next to the lungs. Most probably the aorta. Amar amemer mishmei de Rav Nachman talsa kanei havu. There are three pipes that we're going to be discussing halachically. And that is chad parish liba, one goes to the heart, chad parish lereya, one goes to the lungs, and chad parish lekavda, dereya. And the other one, I'm sorry, and chad parish lekavda, and the other one goes to the liver. Now here, he probably has his longest discussion about what we're describing over here in these three pipes. So, and the discussion really revolves around the way Rashi describes it, the way the Rambam describes it, and it is...
I
strongly encourage, he does a great job. If you want to read it inside, it's pages 155, 156, 157. He does a wonderful job. He himself, the author, Rabbi Lack, so he writes as follows. Anatomically, the simplest explanation of our Gemara is referring to the three large vessels that emerge from the heart. Now again, by the way, he's saying this not in explanation of Rashi, nor an explanation of the Rambam. The first thing you have to do is you have to read Rashi, you have to read Rambam. We just simply don't have the time to do so in terms of it. And then try to make heads and tails of Rashi and the Rambam. But he now is offering a very simple explanation of the Gemara, and it goes like this. The three large vessels that emerge from the heart. The chad, the parish liba, the one that travels to the heart is the aorta, large fat-covered blood vessel that leads from the hindquarters to the body of the heart. I'm sorry, from the hindquarters of the body to the heart. So, and this is the one that we mentioned previously, that machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. When we follow the aorta to the heart, we find that there are two other large, distinct blood vessels that branch off from the heart, one to the lungs, the pulmonary artery, and one to the liver, the vena cava. These are respectively the chad parish lereya and the chad parish lekavda. That's a simple explanation of the Gemara that he himself offers. It's not really reading those identifications. Don't really read well neither into Rashi nor into the Rambam. So again, I'm giving you like the best of, if you will, highlights of what to me actually was pretty interesting reading last night. Anyway, Derea Korea. So now as we describing the three pipes again, the Gemara's concern is a halachic concern, obviously, and the Gemara's concern is, when do they become now? When does the animal become a trefa? What needs to happen to these pipes in order for the animal to become a trefa? So, derea, karea. So, the one that is headed to the lungs, so that's just going to be like the lungs, meaning what renders an animal a trefa by the lungs? Perforation, nekev. So, regarding this particular pipe, same thing, perforation. Dekavda, kekavda. So, the one now headed to the liver. So what renders an animal a trefa by the liver? Nitila. The whole liver has to be removed. So for the pipe, same story. And deliba, pligi mar barchia. Deliba, pliga. And as far as the one for the heart, meaning the aorta, so as mentioned earlier, machlokis between Rav and Shmuel. Mar barchia masni ibcha. Now mar barchia has also a similar tradition, but just inverted. Derea kikavda. The one headed to the lung, halachically, is going to be treated like the liver, meaning total removal. The kavda kareya, the one headed to the liver, is going to be treated like the lung, i.e. perforation. And deliba, pliga. And as far as the heart is concerned, machlokis. Azul Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, Amal Shmanta, Derav Kameh Deshmol. Now, Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef reported what Rav said regarding the aorta in front of Shmuel. And as you know, Shmuel argues, and over here, Shmuel states his argument pretty strongly. Amar le ihachi amar Abba, if that's what Abba said, by the way, second time we've referenced how Shmuel refers to Rav as Abba, ihachi amar Abba lo yada b'trefus v'lo klum. So you know how much Rav knows about trefus? So I'm going to say it nicely. He doesn't know a lot. So, okay. I know. Right. Nishbar HaShedra. Okay, and now we talk about the breaking of the Shedra.
I think Rav is actually more correct. Because any puncture in the yard is very lethal. It's against the Shedra. Okay. Rav is probably. It's interesting that this is the combined aorta, arteries and veins.
because we have pulmonary veins also that bring back the. So there are no mention of pulmonary veins. So also.
Right, right. I got a heads up from my good friend Dr. Galba that you would be asking me about the pulmonary veins. So he gave me he gave me a sneak preview of coming attractions. Right. What's it called? Brian warned me that you were going to say that. Okay, good. With that stated, okay. So I think yes, great minds. Okay, we're gonna pause over here. We'll leave the spinal cord discussion for tomorrow. Okay, spinal cord, basically a running spinal cord. It doesn't sound pleasant. The animal may or may not be a trefa. We'll discuss that tomorrow. Anyway, we'll pause over here. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha, Marasa Keshbacha, Lili Nishmas, sorry, Shakri ben Shlomo ben Mashallah, Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha, Marasa Keshbacha, Zakri Salafi, Chachir ben Tar Mitzvah, Shenemar Nechafetz Mantziko, Yagdil Tarav Yadir.